Chapter 14. Han's face hurt like blazes. More than anything, he just wanted to let clean, cold water run over it. The pain from the burn was more serious than he'd let on, and it likely looked even worse. He'd be sure to attract attention. Then again, he'd seen a few aliens with red skin. Maybe people would believe he was not quite human. He was eager to change into the stolen uniform. His current clothes were filthy, damp, and cold. They'd scrubbed up at the place Kira recommended, but there was only so much they could do without dumping their old clothes. Despite that, Kira was resolute about not putting on the uniforms until they were near the holding facility. "We shouldn't be seen wearing fancy lab uniforms while riding in this thing," she said, indicating the speeder. "It would look suspicious." She was right. So Han concentrated on piloting, while Saulo and Kira pored over a map of the holding area on his datapad. Kira had sketched out a plan for them, and Han thought it just might work. It seemed simple and elegant to Han. All they had to do was lie really, really well. Easy, right? The typical gloomy Corellian sky was back in force, but morning light cracked the horizon, painting the polluted clouds fuchsia and sapphire. Bilious exhaust rose from smokestacks in black silhouette against the sunshine. Lights from rusty boats glinted off the waterways as fishmongers brought their early morning hauls to the fish markets. They crossed a bridge into central Coronet, and Kira directed Han to an underground public parking facility, which would cost them a few of the precious credits the engineer had given them. They stowed the speeder and changed into their uniforms under cover of darkness, each giving the others privacy. Kira patted her uniform down, adjusted the collar, and said, "So, do I look like someone who does business with Imperials?"
"Well, you certainly look imperious," Han said,
and she rolled her eyes at him. The truth was she looked amazing, sophisticated and strong, like she was meant to wear such things. Han looked away before his thoughts could betray him.
"Do we walk from here?"
Saulo pointed toward one of the exits.
"The address is 1 Corset Plaza. It's not far. According to my map, a pedestrian walkway will take us from the parking structure to Peace and Security Headquarters."
"All we have to do is figure out which part of the building houses the Imperial holding block," Kira said. "Then we walk right in." She sounded like she didn't have a worry in the world, but Han knew her a little better now. When Kira threw her head back like that, lifted her chin, and looked down on everyone else, it meant she was nervous. With luck, no one else here would know her as well as he did. Despite his own jitters, no one paid them any mind as they exited the parking structure and walked along the pedestrian path. Police speeders passed them, returning to headquarters after a long shift. A few stormtroopers flew by on speeder bikes, cutting in and out of traffic as though they owned the thoroughfare. They reached an imposing white building, fronted by vast marble steps. Thick columns rose on either side of the entrance, some kind of architectural homage to a distant history. Even though it was early morning, the area was heavy with foot traffic, mostly humans, but a few other species as well. As they mounted the steps, Han reminded himself that the entry and lobby area of Peace and Security Headquarters was public property. Anyone could go inside. All they had to do was blend in with everyone else, keep from being recognized. A swaggering Celestin pilot bumped into Han as he passed. Fighting his first instinct to turn and, well, fight, Han looked away quickly and pulled the brim of his hat lower to cover his face. "I'm not sure wearing your hat so low is regulation," Kira whispered.
"Regulations are stupid," Han began.
But the words died on his lips, and Kira and Saulo hastily ducked their heads and pulled down the brims of their own hats to cover their faces. Because standing just outside the lobby was a Grindelid in an enviro suit. Han couldn't tell if he was one of Lady Proxima's soldiers or not, but he was clearly waiting there, watching for somebody. Luckily, a uniform worked like a stealth cloak. The Grindelid glanced at them, and then his gaze slipped away like water. Han breathed a sigh of relief. But he was on even higher alert now. The white worms were still after them.
The Kaldana Syndicate wouldn't let them die quickly. And if the Imperial Stormtroopers saw through their disguises, hadn't he heard somewhere that using false identichips was punishable by death? They entered through doors that were large enough to allow a commuter shuttle to pass. Han tried not to gawk at the atrium inside. The slick floors shimmered with marble or quartz, or some material Han wasn't familiar with. The ceiling was lofty, at least 4 stories high, and hung with sleek, minimalist chandeliers that lit the space in bright white. Ahead was a help desk, manned by 1 human and 2 droids. Beside it was a waiting area with several benches, many of them already occupied. To their left was a bank of turbo lifts. Kira was looking around, calculating. She studied the benches, the desk, the walls, even the potted plants. Her gaze lingered on the 2 sentry droids standing guard near the lifts, then drifted to the security personnel patrolling the lobby perimeter.
"Your plan is going to work," Han assured her.
He really hoped her plan was going to work. "Yeah, once we find the right cell block. I'm looking for a posted map of the building. Government facilities are supposed to post floor plans, right? It's regulation. To show emergency exits. I thought it might tell us which part of the building was occupied by Imperials." He and Su'ulo took up the search, scanning walls, looking for kiosks. All Han saw was an abstract painting that might have been a Corellian freighter zooming through space, and a larger-than-life portrait of Emperor Palpatine.
"I got nothing," Han said. "Just some creepy guy in a painting who seems to be looking at me no matter where I stand."
I don't see anything either, said Su'ulo. The great philosopher Flacial Krenna once said, "That which you seek hardest to find remains hidden the longest."
"What does that even mean?" Han said.
Su'ulo shrugged.
"Actually, I have no idea."
"This is no problem," Kira said firmly, as if to herself. "No problem at all. We'll head toward the lifts. Maybe it's posted there."
"I think the lifts are for official personnel only," Han pointed out.
"We are official personnel, remember?" she said. "Besides, do you have a better idea?"
"As a matter of fact, I do," Han said. "Watch and learn."
And with that, he strode forward to the help desk, Kira and Su'ulo at his heels. A woman was ahead of him in line. She pleaded with the droid clerk that her identichip had been confiscated by Corsec in error, that she couldn't afford to pay the speeder ticket fines, much less have her citizenship reinstated. A moment later, she fled in frustration, tears streaming down her face.
"May I help you?" asked a bored, mechanical voice.
"I certainly hope so," Han said,
giving his best approximation of Kira's imperiousness.
"My..."
he almost said friends.
"Colleagues and I are fresh off the shuttle from, Salonia. And we're late for an Imperial meeting. Please direct us to the right floor."
"I didn't know Sinar APL scientists had interests on Salonia," the droid observed.
Han shrugged.
"The Advanced Projects Laboratory has interests everywhere. And I don't question my orders. I just go where they tell me."
"That is wise," said the droid. "Please insert your identichip into the reader there."
He indicated a slot mechanism that jutted from the table.
"Once it checks out, I can clear you the whole way."
Han fumbled with the identichip inside his breast pocket, almost dropping it as he pulled it out. He shoved it into the reader, thinking, "Please work, please work, please work." The reader whirred for a moment, then the indicator light turned soft blue.
"Everything checks out," the droid said. "The turbo lifts are that way. Imperial offices are on the 5th floor.
"And the holding cells," Han prompted.
"Why do you need to go there?"
"I'm afraid that's above your pay grade," Han replied.
"Fine. The holding cells are on the 6th floor. Have a nice day. If you are contacted with a survey, please indicate that I was helpful to you and that you left satisfied with Corsec's service."
Wordlessly, Kira and Su'ulo inserted their identichips and were cleared to follow Han. The 3 of them headed for the lifts. Kira whispered,
"Han, that was very well done."
He smiled so wide it made the burn on his face sting. They entered the lift and punched the sixth floor. They had the capsule to themselves, so Kira said, "Remember, don't detonate the ball thingies until I say. Getting in will be easy. We need them for getting out."
"Yes, ma'am," Han said with a mock salute.
The door of the lift slid open, and they stepped into a low-ceilinged vestibule filled with stormtroopers, even a handful of gray-uniformed officers. Han had to remind himself to breathe. Okay, maybe not filled exactly. Han counted 5 stormtroopers and 2 officers. If things went badly, it was 7 against 2. 7 blasters against 2 ball thingies, that is. Not the worst odds he'd faced.
"Sulu, pull out that data pad," Kira whispered. "Try to look official."
Beyond the stormtroopers, a glittering shield blocked off a long hallway, lined with cell doors on either side. The engineer's crew member was somewhere inside.
"Delightful," said one of the officers. "More lab grunts."
He sat at a desk looking irritated. Han prepared for trouble. There was no one in the galaxy touchier than an Imperial officer stuck at a desk job.
"Lab grunts?" Kira said, one eyebrow raised in a look of utter contempt.
This was the part Kira had all planned out, so Han kept quiet, letting her take over.
The officer shrugged. "It's just what we call them," he said.
He turned toward his console.
"Looks like we're not expecting anyone. How can I help you?"
"We're here for prisoner 248C, Kira said. "He'll be coming with us."
"Is he being transferred?"
"Of course not."
"Then why?"
"He's needed for scientific inquiry."
Word on the street was that the Empire had a business arrangement with certain favored corporate entities to provide subjects for weapons and environment testing. Sentient beings disappeared from the Imperial holding block all the time, especially non-humans. Kira was certain that was why the engineer had provided these specific uniforms. Han hoped she was right. The officer frowned.
"You lab grunts with your aliens. It's disturbing, I don't mind saying. Go ahead and scan your identichips, and I'll lower the shield."
They did as asked, and once again the reader indicator turned soft blue. The identichips were perfect counterfeits. Something remarkable had been encoded on them, something that identified them as scientists with enough clout that even Imperial officers let them pass. Of course, if Han had learned one thing from working for Lady Proxima, half of getting away with anything was acting like you belonged exactly where you were. When in doubt, brazen it out. The officer hit a switch on his console, and the soft buzz of the shield went silent. He waved them through.
"Go along now. The prisoner you're looking for is in cell 19. Do you want some help? He's a big fellow."
Kira smiled serenely.
"We came prepared. We'll be fine. Thank you, though."
"Sure. If you change your mind, just holler."
The stormtroopers moved out of their way, and the 3 of them stepped into the hallway of the cell block.
"We have to hurry," Kira whispered, quickening her pace. "Let's get this done before he thinks to call his superiors about an unexpected visit."
They didn't have far to go to reach cell 19. In fact, Han would have felt better if it had been farther down the hall, away from the vestibule and the stormtroopers. Han stretched on his tiptoes and peered through the tiny window in the door. The cell was dirty, with a single, crooked cot holding an empty meal tray. Something long and hairy lay on the floor against the wall, its back to the door. Han could see why it was on the floor. It was way too big for the cot.
"Han?" Kira prodded. "Anything?"
"Something is in there," Han said. "Not sure what. I think it's asleep."
Sulu said,
"Let's just get this over with."
He reached forward and palmed the door open. It slid wide with a whoosh of fetid air. The cell hadn't been cleaned in who knew how long. The creature against the wall stirred, turned over. It was a Wookiee, Han could see now. As soon as the Wookiee saw them, he leaped to his feet with a roar.
"We're here on behalf of your boss," Kira said, talking fast and low. "The engineer. She sent us to rescue you."
The Wookiee stopped mid-leap, landed easily, and cocked his head at her. He was a giant, at least 2 heads taller than Han, and his brown fur was streaked with white. Blue beads were woven into the hair flowing from his face, and his nose twitched incessantly, as though he was sniffing them. Han knew a little about Wookiees. He'd encountered some while running errands for Lady Proxima, had even picked up a few words of Shriwook. But not enough to be useful. If this fellow didn't understand basic, they were screwed.
"I have a plan to get you out of here," Kira continued.
The Wookiee tossed his head, making a noise that was something between a groan and a yawn. Han recognized one word.
"He said food," Han told them. "Maybe he's hungry. Sorry, pal, I don't have any food, but we can take you to get some."
The Wookiee groaned again.
"Ship?" Han asked him. "Did you just say ship?"
The Wookiee nodded vigorously.
"You're joking," Kira said. "He made the exact same groaning sound as the last time."
Han blinked.
"No, the sounds are totally different."
"Whatever," Kira said. "Will you come with us?" she said to the Wookiee.
He shook his head violently.
"Blast! Why not?"
He growled something, but Han understood very little.
"I think he doesn't trust us. Something about invisibility? No, disappearances. But I'm not sure."
Su'ulo said,
"We don't have time to argue with him."
"We prepared for this contingency," Kira said, reaching for her breather. Su'ulo and Han followed suit, and Su'ulo pulled the first ball thingy from his pocket. The Wookiee roared.
"Now, Su'ulo!"
Kira shoved the breather against her nose and mouth. The Rodian flicked the button on the sun charge. The Wookiee leaped for Kira, hands reaching for her throat. The stun charge lifted into the air and spun, shooting yellow and green gas from tiny jets at its circumference. The Wookiee faltered, then fell to one knee. His head lolled for a moment before he crashed to the ground.
"That takes care of one problem,"
Kira said, her lips tight to the breather so no gas could enter her lungs.
"Now we wait."
"How long will it take?"
Han asked. He knew they had to wait for the gas to dissipate for their plan to work. But if they took too long, those Imperials might get suspicious. Su'ulo held up a hand as if telling him to have patience. After a moment, he lowered it and removed his breather.
"Should be fine now. The gas disappears fast. I'm sure she engineered it specifically for stealth maneuvers."
Made sense.
"Ready for the next step?"
Han said to Kira. Kira nodded, taking a deep breath. Then she ran into the hallway, shouting,
"Get in here at once! We have a huge problem, and I will not stand for it!"
Kira could use some lessons in lying. She was overdoing it a bit. Nevertheless, a flurry of bootsteps indicated that people were coming their way fast. The officer and 2 of the stormtroopers skidded to a stop just outside the cell.
"Look at this!" Kira said, seemingly so angry she could breathe fire. "This prisoner is in terrible shape. What have you been feeding him? When I tell my superiors what you've done to our asset..."
"We did nothing," the officer protested. "This isn't our fault. He was fine at the last feeding."
Kira peered into his face.
"You know a lot about Wookiees, then?"
No, I guess not."
"Then how do you know he was fine?"
"I guess I didn't. I mean, his appetite was fine. He didn't give us any trouble."
Su'ulo pointed to his data pad and began jabbering at the Imperials, ostensibly instructing them on some basics of Wookiee physiology. In actuality, he was insulting their mothers and wishing them bad bowels. Han kept a perfectly straight face and hoped quietly that none of them understood a single word of Hatiz. Kira tapped her bottom lip.
"I can see that he may have already been ill when he was brought here. I suppose you can't be held responsible if he worsened in your care."
"Yes, that must be it. He was already ill when he was brought here."
"I may still be able to salvage him."
"Oh? How?"
"Can you have a medlift brought here? We'll push him out and get him to our ship. We have a well-provisioned infirmary."
"Absolutely. At once."
The officer fled, the stormtroopers at his back.
Wow. That actually worked, Han whispered.
Saulo started laughing quietly.
What? Han asked.
The part about calling the Wookiee an asset to be salvaged. Kira sounded just like a stuck-up Imperial.
Han translated for Kira and was awarded with one of her magnificent smiles.
You think this fellow is okay? Han said, prodding the unconscious Wookiee with his foot.
Should be, Kira said. I hope so. If he's not, this is all for nothing. The officer returned, pushing a hovering gurney ahead of him.
Your med lift, he said.
Perfect, Kira said. Your cooperation in this might mean the difference between life and death for my asset. Again, Han felt she might be pushing it too hard, but the officer beamed.
Anything else? He asked.
Help us get him onto the lift?
Together, Han, the officer, and the two stormtroopers lifted and heaved until the Wookiee lay across the gurney. His feet hung over the end, but Han figured it would hold.
Thank you, Kira said. Now we must hurry.
She pushed the lift out the door and down the hallway. It glided through the air easily, as if the creature on it did not weigh more than Han, Kira, and Saulo all put together.
Han, get ready with the second ball thingy, Kira said under her breath.
That meant she expected trouble. Han reached into his pocket for the gas bomb and palmed it, careful not to engage the button. They reached the vestibule, where the other stormtroopers turned to gawk at the Wookiee on the gurney. They were almost to the lift, just a few more steps.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
The officer said at their backs. Kira ignored him, pressing the call button.
How did a young, pretty girl like you get such an important job?
Han felt his hackles go up, as if being pretty were somehow not compatible with being important. The engineer's gas grenade was cool and hard in his hand, ready to be activated at a moment's notice.
Come on, tell me. How did you do it?
Without turning around, Kira said,
I did well in my aptitude testing.
You're saying I didn't?
Finally, Kira turned, facing him down.
You're just an ensign, stuck in an office job on this dive of a planet. What do you think?
A muscle in the officer's jaw moved. He reached for the comm.
You know, before you go, I need to check with my superiors. Make sure this is a sanctioned removal. I'm just an ensign, after all.
Softly, Kira said, Breathers, now. Han shoved his breather against his nose and mouth. Kira and Saulo did the same.
Hey, what are you?
Han yanked the gas grenade from his pocket, flicked the switch, and tossed it into the air in one swift, smooth movement. The little metal ball spun in the air, spewing gas. The lift opened.
Go now!
Kira said around her breather, pushing the gurney and its resident Wookiee into the lift. The sounds of choking and coughing peppered their backs. The door slid closed behind them, and they began to descend. After a moment, Saulo removed his breather and shoved it into his pocket. The others followed suit.
They'll be out a long time, Kira said.
I just hope he didn't open that comm before he lost consciousness, Han said.
You sure the Wookiee is okay? Saulo asked. He got two doses of that stuff.
I only understand the word for two.
Blast!
Kira said.
Uh-oh, what?
Han prompted.
Two doses, I didn't think of that. I should have.
Her shoulders slumped.
Two doses of that gas might be fatal. I messed up.
Gently, Han put a hand on her shoulder.
I doubt it. He's a Wookiee. It would take a freighter full of that stuff to hurt him. And your plan was great. Simple and perfect.
It was true. The best plans were simple, so elegant, so sneaky, that no one knew you were trouble until long after you were gone. He'd have to remember that.
Now we're just going to walk right out the front door.
And that's what they did. Prisoners being escorted in and out was a common sight at Corsac headquarters, and few paid them any mind, even when it was a giant Wookiee on a medlift. Moments later, they stepped into the cold Corellian day.
No one had even sounded an alarm.